from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But when it's a consensus that everyone thinks this is the guy, you're probably just going to take him. Like, it's rare that you have a quarterback prospect like a Trevor Lawrence, like a Caleb Williams, like an Andrew Luck, and you don't take him number one overall because everyone's just telling you to do it. So it's like, hell, these guys know what they're talking about.
Andrew Luck's a great example, and we can, you know, we can talk a lot about all the things that he can do on a football field. It was pretty obvious. Andrew Luck's really good. He's really smart. And then the system he was in with the coaching and the ownership and the infrastructure destroyed him.
Yeah. He didn't get an offensive line. You invested all of this. You sucked forever. I guess just for like a year or two. And they got lucky because they went from Peyton to Andrew Luck. And now they're still trying to find their next guy since then. But yeah, they stunk. You got the guy, but then you didn't draft anyone to help him.
I know.
Like,
you
get Quentin Nelson like after he's gone.
I know.
It's like, what are we doing?
Well, but I think this goes to now let's turn it into the Brandon Ayuk conversation. And it's like, I understand wanting to make every last dollar, but you also have to survey the landscape and say to yourself, all right, but what's my ability? You know, like when you're in a company, they always ask you these questions like, do you want to grow with the company? Right? Do you one day want to go from, you know, I'm an apprentice and I want to go to journeyman. And then one day I'd like to be the foreman, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing could be said at wide receiver. Do you want to get a big contract? Yes, I do. Well, do you think you have an opportunity here to put up really good numbers to get that third contract, to get that fourth contract? What about making money off the field, right? Does any of that interest you? You can't be penny wise, pound foolish in these situations. So maybe I make $1 million or $2 million annual less here, but I have a much better chance 3 years from now to get multiple Pro Bowls, to get, you know, 1,200 yards, win big playoff games, and get a Nissan commercial, and get an Adidas commercial, and get that third or fourth contract. And I think that's what Belichick is talking about when he's talking about that cut that we played earlier. It's like, all right, Brandon, I know you want to get paid the most. And I don't know what his algorithm is. I know you want to get paid a lot of money. Like, I understand that. But, like, the money isn't equal. So making 27 here is actually going to help you make 33 3 years from now when we renegotiate and you go to 2 Pro Bowls and you win multiple big playoff games and you're Brock Purdy's number one target. And he is now the $60 million quarterback going to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan saying, I want my number one target to get his third contract. You got to keep this guy. Like, that's, to me, that's powerful.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Now, that was absolutely powerful. And here's some more sound that you were alluding to. Bill Belichick on with Pat McAfee yesterday. Listen, real quick, I cannot wait to hear Bill Belichick talking NFL and Nick Saban talking college. It's going to be so, like, I cannot wait. Nick Saban was great last week.
Well, did you hear what they were doing? Predictions. And this was great. I loved it. They're doing predictions, and Nick Saban is like, yeah, I used to rip all you guys for doing these predictions. I don't really want to do them, but I kind of have to do them. And it's like, yeah, Nick, like, that's
part of the gig.
That's what we do. Like, a lot of people, like, will critique what we're doing. And it's like, you have to understand, we're talking about your favorite teams 20, 25 hours a week on live radio. Things are happening, and it gets redundant. If you don't think we're exhausted by the Draymond punch, you're tripping yourself, right? If you don't think we're exhausted talking Brandon Ayuk, 27 or 28 million, but it's Lowry what Markkinen. You guys want to talk about.
There you go. Yeah, Lowry Markkinen. You see his picture yesterday? He's happy in Utah.
I'm so ready to not bring up the name Lowry Markkinen for the next 5 years.
Ever again.
I hate him.
You hate him. Carter hates him.
I'm with you, though. But, like, this Brandon Ayuk thing's like, he's really good. I want him on the team. This is gone on way too far. This is like the couple that's been talking about getting married for 12 years. Like, just get married then.
Seriously, the 4-year engagement or whatever that movie was with Jason Segel. Bill Belichick on other teams' contracts impacting his negotiations.
Hey, so whenever these deals happen around the league, when a deal happens, and your general manager, your guy that's trying to figure out your people, you see these deals happening, you go, what are they doing? What are they? Why is that what we're paying people now? Because it immediately affects your deals, right? Whenever that type of stuff happens somewhere else, those become the comps, that becomes a conversation. So then that becomes your headache for every single negotiation. So you're looking around whatever website, whether it's Pro Football Talk or ESPN or getting text messages, you see a deal get announced, and you go, whoa, that's what we... And then you immediately see 10 headaches on your team. I got 10 guys better than that guy. That's going to is that real? Is that like the reality of the business whenever you're in one of those positions?
I personally don't look at it that way, but I think, you know, the players do. And I think it certainly comes up in the conversation. My conversation to the players would always be, look, we can do what we can do. I can't control what another team paid somebody else or didn't pay somebody else. That's really out of my control. The only thing I can tell you is here's what we can do. And I would try to structure the contracts on the team I was coaching so that they were consistent. So you couldn't come into me and say, well, you know, Bill's getting more than I am and I'm a lot better than he is. Then that creates a problem for me because, you know, you've made the decision on those numbers. So, you know, when somebody else throws out a number, you know, you have to deal with it. But in the end, it's not your number. So, you know, we can't negotiate. Look, every player is going to come in and say, well, this is the highest paid guy. Some of the team's getting it. You know, we want that. Well, you can't make everybody the highest paid guy based on contracts, you know, on 31 other teams in the league. It's impossible. So I try to structure it on what our team is. And if Brady's making less than, you know, a corner, there's something wrong, right? There's something wrong. And then that corner might leave and go somewhere else. But I can't pay a corner more than I'm paying my starting quarterback who's won 3 Super Bowls, you know, in 2010 or whatever. Hey, I've had that conversation.
Bill Belichick on Pat McAfee yesterday, Joe Shasky.
This is what we've been talking about for like 3 years. Yep. So like let's break this down. If Bosa's making 15% of the cap this year, AAV, I mean, this is just the rough estimate. And Warner's making 10%, okay? Trent's sitting here and he's like, well, I'm only making 12.5% of that cap. I'm one of the best players on this team. I need to be closer to Bosa's number. That's what he's saying. And then you got Debo making 11.5% of the cap. And now you got Ayuk saying, hey, well, I'm better than Debo.
I was second team all pro last year.
Right? Yep. I need to make more than him. I can see where this gets out of control. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking here and I'm saying like, and this is why CMC got paid earlier. CMC's like, I'm only making, you know, 4 or 5% AAV of the cap, right? The annual percentage of the cap. So I need to be bumped up. Now he's making 7.5, but it gets into this. And this is where like everyone's just your pocket watching. No, that's what all the players are doing. There's a hierarchy and there's a pecking order in that locker room. And so I do believe that Trent needs to be prioritized before Brandon Ayuk. And if Brandon Ayuk is making more per year than Trent, I think you're going to have problems.
Bill Belichick, again, was so good at doing everything else, the little things that we really just, I think, take for granted for now. Because he was not only just the head coach, he was the GM. He was everything for that organization. And now I think we view Shanahan a little bit like that. Not quite to that level of Belichick because he does rely on the prerogs. John Lynch, I still would like to give him some credit as well.
He has final say.
Correct. But he has final say over everything.
That's what I believe.
Correct. But the more you're talking about it, Joe Shasky, the more I'm thinking, why didn't they just trade him on draft night? The more you keep saying it, like, because now you're starting to start this trend of just one-upping each other's teammates, and that's got to affect the locker room somehow. Like, it just has to affect the psyche. Belichick and Brady in the Patriot way, laugh at it all you want. There was a method to that madness and just prioritizing, as you just heard Belichick say, yeah, Malcolm Butler's not going to be making more than Tom Brady. Sorry. Go to Tennessee, Malcolm. It's just not going to...
And I agree with him.
Right? Like, it is what it is. You have to prioritize certain positions over others. Again, and we're talking about all this because Ayuk's holding out, Trent Williams holding out, and Brock Purdy's contract is looming after this season. So going back to Stannis of the House Baratheon, hard truths, they cut both ways, Joe Shasky. The hard truth is going to be cut here in the coming weeks when it comes to Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams.
Well, and I like the player. I want the player to stay on the team, right? We all want the player. We like Ayuk. He's really good. He's really good. I think the Niners think he's really good. But I also think they're evaluating this saying, all right, let's do a brain exercise. Quarterback is the most important player on the team, right?
Yes.
And he's going to get paid at some point. And on this team, it's left tackle and running back over wide receiver.
Yes.
In whatever order you want.
With this running back in particular, yes.
Right? Right? Yes. And that might not be the case 2 years from now. No. Like, it might not be the case by the end
of
this year.
If it's Elijah Mitchell, then it's not, but it's Christian McCaffrey, so it is.
Yes, exactly. And then we could start having conversations on, all right, is it Kittle? Who, I would argue, he makes so little compared to these other positions that it's great value and you keep him around, right? I think tight end is the best value in sports right now. Mm-hmm. They're making 15, the high end of the market is $15 million, $20 million per year. That's half of what an elite wide receiver is making right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you comparable production at left tackle as a blocker, if they're great at it, which is what Kittle is, and as a pass catcher. So, like, to me, they're a dynamic value. Wide receiver, is it smart business to spend 25% of your cap on two players at wide receiver when you don't throw the ball like that?
No. It's just like it's...
When also college is pumping out wide receivers,
really,
and if you look at the hit rate, it's a little better at wide receiver than it is at all these other positions.
I'm seeing all, dude, not even college. I just keep seeing high school film of these, like, guys. He's 6'2", 6'3", just 200 pounds, jacked, running 4.40. I was like, what are we doing out here? Just pumping, like, California, too. We're just so blessed in the Bay Area and in Southern California. We just have such an amazing pipeline of talent. Like, Brock Bowers was in Napa Valley, and he was just ball. He was best player in college football for Georgia. And I can't wait to see him. I think the Raiders is not going to be great, but I think Brock Bowers is going to be a baller. In that offense, the two tight end sets. I can't wait for football. I got my fantasy draft tomorrow.
Oh,
the 95-7 one that you and Bonte Hill duck.
Yeah,
by the way,
no, time out. I'm in a friends league.
No, they're scared.
In a family league.
No,
I'm not.
Stop.
I'm not going to be in 4 or 5 leagues anymore. I'm in 2 leagues.
Carter,
friends
are you
and
in
family.
The league?
Of course.
Okay, so
how many leagues?
I'm in 3 this year and I hate it.
It's one too many, right?
Way too many.
That's what I'm
totally
saying.
Agree.
So why are you guys hating on me saying friends, family, that's it?
I'm not hating. I'm just saying you and Bonte are scared. You guys don't want the smoke.
No, we're
that's
not
okay.
scared.
That's
it's just
right.
I'm cool. I'm good off of, like, rooting for and against every player on my screen at all times.
I know you're not scared of this guy that's going to come up next.
Carter, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Totally. But
oh, Tyreek
Hill
scored! Damn it, I'm playing him in 2 leagues.
Wouldn't you think, though, that the work league here would be really the crown jewel
no.
of all your leagues?
No. I think maybe Bonte lost to Kolsky a couple years ago. I don't think Bonte won. Maybe he did. Everyone laughed at him for taking Kelsey in round one, and then he shoved it in everyone's face, I guess, a couple years ago about it. Anyways, Brian Baldinger is coming up next to Oshiaski. We got 5 questions that need to be answered for the 49ers this season. We're going to talk about them, then we're going to present them to Baldy, and then at 8 o'clock, we're going to ask you, the callers, at 888-957-9570 to hop on and answer those questions as well. That's coming up next, and it's sponsored by Chilton Autobody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Howdy.
This is Jeremiah from Fremont, also known as the Legend Jerry, and you're listening to the Morning Rose with Bonte Hill and Butcher Boy Joe Shasky, two Bay Area homegrown legends themselves, everybody. And I want you guys, everybody, to stay with me now. The best part of waking up is the Morning Rose
in your cup.
Spinoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. We love Jeremiah and Fremont. And we also love the Red and Gold Summit. Join us Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank in Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willer and Dibbs will start things off from 2 to 4. The rest of the hosts will join from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storylines surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. You can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. We would love to have you down at Fremont Bank. We love our peeps over at Fremont Bank, Joe Shasky. We got Brian Baldinger joining us here in about 12 minutes, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Cannot wait to talk some football. Talk cut day with Brian Baldinger. I want to get his thoughts on that. If he's ever been cut, that feeling, you know, we were just talking about me, you, and the boss man, you know, that scene in Major League, both of them, actually. I love Major League 1 and 2. I have a soft spot for 2 because I feel like I watched that one a lot more when I was younger. Shout out Rube Baker, all-time character. But that red tag when they open up, and they know that they've been cut. Like, it's just such a good, like, a visceral thing. Just a little piece of paper that determines your future.
Did you ever do cuts in high school? Did you ever like?
No, they didn't like. I was JV. I played the whitest of the white sports in high school. By the way, water polo and golf. Okay. So and no, I was not. I did not get the little red hanky or tag. No.
Yeah, like I depending on what school, like they would just like post the team up on like the athletic director's, you know, glass door or whatever, and there'd just be like a list of who made it to the next day and everything. Everyone would be like hovering around looking at it. So
I don't know if they do that in today's society. I think that's like a microaggression or something like that. They're not allowed to do that.
And this is why America's soft.
I'm just saying, I don't think you can do that anymore. You can't post everyone that's there. You're going to get a private email. You're going to come to the office, stuff like that. No, I like a good shaming every now and then.
It's not even a shaming. It's just like it's a cold dose of reality.
Well, exactly.
But hear me out, though. Like, you fail in life, right? You're probably not going to get the promotion
at first term. I only win. What? I never fail. I'm a winner. It's a mindset, Joe Shasky. We need to get on my level.
Honestly, like, we are in a participation trophy era, and if you're not ready to have some adversity in life, like, you're in for a rude awakening.
I didn't want to cut you off there. Sorry. I think we did a good job not cutting each other off. It's our parents' fault, by the way, for the participation trophy era. I keep hearing the previous generation crapping on my millennial generation that it's, oh, you guys are the participants. No. I was a kid, and you gave me a yellow ribbon for participating.
Yeah, we didn't get
it. I wasn't in charge of that. Yeah. I throw that thing away. I didn't want that.
Yeah. My fault.
Come on. Yeah. Clean it up.
My era was either you win or you sit in the back of the truck and quietly, we're not getting ice cream.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was thinking of Little League and stuff, too, and Mustang League and all that sort of stuff with the Little League World Series. Who won? Florida? Florida won? They beat Chinese Taipei?
Yeah, on a bunt.
On a bunt. That's actually pretty sick.
Yeah. PFPs, you gotta go cover first.
I saw that. There was no one there. That's
and then
a tough
seeing
look.
One of the coaches run around like he won the World Series.
Oh,
like,
come on. You do the same, Butch.
No,
come on.
No. You don't do that. You don't. Like, we had a team that we were playing against this year at Twin Creeks, and the two coaches chest bumped each other when someone scored in the first inning. And I looked over at my boy Jim, and I was like, oh my God, what an obnoxious crew.
I think I met Jim. He was at the, when we had the 95.
He's the best.
He's a very nice guy. He was,
and then
was
we
talking,
ended
yeah,
up
yeah.
beating them, and it was like, you clowns.
You should have chest bumped too.
No, I'm not going to chest bump after a 12-year-old like home run in the first inning. Are you kidding me?
I'm out.
Give me a break.
Thank you. All right. We got five questions we're going to ask Baldy here in about 9 minutes. Chest bump. I wanted to touch on them real quick with you, Joe Shasky, before we get to it. Because I think these are the five questions that I think most 49ers fans is pressing in the back of their minds right now. It's cut day. We'll get into that. But let's get to these five questions real quick.
Give them to me.
And if we can have a bed, I'm putting you on the spot for this one, Carter. Go to Spadoni Beds. It should be in red. It'll be NFL.
Spadoni Beds.
It'll be an NFL primetime. This is kind of taking you behind the scenes here of what I have to go through. Look at that.
Oh,
pot it down a little bit.
Prime
we'll
time.
Be good. Perfect. All right. Number one, Joe Shasky. What will be the 49ers regular season record without Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk? Without those two players.
I think it's going to be 9-8, 10-7. I think that they can win 9-10 games because they've got unbelievable play calling. They've got a guy that understands how to coach around some of the issues that they have, but I do believe it would be a huge problem for them all year. And I also think that their defense is good enough to where they could play ball control and change the style of how they play, right? Like, they had an explosive offense last year. It will not be as explosive without Ayuk and no Trent Williams, but I think they can play ball control, run the ball down your throat, tighter games. It's incumbent on special teams being elite, though.
So they're going to be a playoff team, but not going to win that division, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay. You like the Rams?
In that scenario, yeah, probably the Rams. And I'm not ready to sleep on Seattle. I want to see what they look like.
So that's question one, the regular season record without Trent Williams.
I mean, remember, they lost Joe Staley for about four games during 2019, and I believe went 3-1 during that stretch.
That's true. Number two, when I say Kyle Shanahan, Joe Shasky, you say what?
Winner.
Really?
Kyle Shanahan's a winner. Yeah, he is. Kyle Shanahan's a winner. Now, he hasn't won the ultimate one, but that doesn't mean that this guy's not a winner. Everywhere he goes, he's got the magic pixie dust to make the roster better, whether that's through his own play calling or his identification of talent. And you're going to have misses. I mean, he has Trey Lance on his resume, but he also has George Kittle, and he also has Debo, and he has Ayuk, and he has Brock Purdy. So I think this guy's a winner, and I think that everywhere he goes, he makes the situation better.
I like that. We're doing five questions, the five most pressing questions for the San Francisco 49ers this upcoming season. We got Baldy here in 7 minutes. We're going to ask him these questions as well. And then at 8 o'clock, I want to ask it to the people, and I want you guys to call in at 888-957-9570. All right, number three here. Who would you say is the face of the San Francisco 49ers?
I think the face of the San Francisco 49ers is Kyle Shanahan.
The coach.
I do.
Interesting.
I do.
Can you say that for any other team in the NFL? Their coach?
Sean McVay, Rams.
Ooh.
Sean Payton, Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah, Payton. Not Bo Nix?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
And it's wild that the head coach here, with all the stars that they have, I'm here to listen to the George Kittle, the CMC, Brock Purdy, Bosa, Fred Warner. But man, when I think of the Niners, Shanahan is their identity.
Interesting. I would say Kittle, because I think that's what most people would associate with San Francisco. But I hear you when I think like the media, like at large, I think we all think of Kyle Shanahan first, but maybe the average fan might think of a player. Number four here. Besides Brock Purdy, Joe Shasky, who needs to have a career year to give the 49ers the best chance at winning a Super Bowl? Besides the quarterback.
I'm going to go Nick Bosa. I'm looking at this defensive line, and I'm very worried about this defensive line just in general, stopping the run. If you told me Nick Bosa had a career year, I think the 49ers are going to have a top three defense, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I know Kyle Shanahan can scheme it up. Even if guys go down, he can find a way. I mean, their leading receiver in the playoffs in 2019 was Kendrick Bourne.
You know what that tells me? If Nick Bosa's having a career year, it means Leonard Floyd's being a monster on the other side.
I love that.
Yeah, it means Leonard Floyd is being that guy.
And that back into that secondary is feeling real good.
Yep.
Because I bet he gets a lot of coverage sacks.
We got five questions here, four down, and we're going to ask these to Baldy here in a couple minutes. Again, Brian Baldinger joining us as he does every single Tuesday at 7:30. We're going to get to Baldy here in just a second. I already see him with his NFL hat on. He's looking great. He's got the light blue shirt on, making those eyes pop, baby.
Baldy.
All right, number five here, Joe Shasky. The biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC is who?
I'm going to say it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, fly, Eagles, fly.
I'm very worried about them. I'll listen to Green Bay. I'll listen to Detroit. I feel like that division's going to cannibalize itself a little. And I look at that NFC East. I think Jaden Daniels is at minimum a year away. And New York Giants stink. I think Philly is a team with Saquon Barkley. I want to see what they look like this year. I'm very worried about Philadelphia.
Whenever there's a something going on with the head coach and the quarterback, that's never a good sign.
You've red flagged them?
I think that's probably the talk of Philadelphia sports talk right now. Not the Phillies, not the Flyers, not the Sixers and Paul George. It's Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, and maybe we'll ask that to Baldy here in just a second. But I just can't put the Eagles there. Talent-wise, absolutely. I love the pick of Cooper DeJean, by the way. I think he's going to be great.
Baller.
By the way, he looks just like Lucas Alexander. If Lucas Alexander hit the gym, he got jacked. Same guy. No, seriously. Go look at their faces.
Love you, Lucas.
Same person. No, Lucas is fine, though. He's slimmed down. He's looking good. He's getting a little older. He's got to stay in shape. But Cooper DeJean, I love that pick. They addressed the secondary, which was just atrocious last year. And the Niners stole their souls. So until further notice, the 49ers are Shang Tsung a la Mortal Kombat, Joe Shasky. And they're Scorpion. All right? They're done. They're dead.
Right? I have this feeling that Detroit is going to have...
Scorpion's too much of a badass. I should have gone someone else there. I don't know, like Molina or something.
Get over here.
Yeah,
I think Detroit's going to be really good. But if they lost a couple of more games this year, would you be that surprised?
No, because they have legit expectations.
Exactly.
Like, people were, like, kind of gassing them up last year.
They were really healthy last year.
Like, I need to see more from Green Bay. Like, again, that's why that first game of the season is actually fascinating for 49ers fans to watch. Not only for the rest of the league, because we're going to be in Brazil.
Yeah.
But, like, Eagles, Packers, and Baldy's going to be down there in Brazil.
What is that pass rush going to look like for the Eagles?
And what is Jordan Love going to look like?
That's a great question.
Like, he had an amazing second half.
It's a great question.
He just got paid the bag. I'm not saying it's Jimmy Garoppolo levels with the 49ers where he showed out for five games and got the bag like that, because I do think Jordan Love, talent-wise, is just far superior to Jimmy Garoppolo with all the intangibles, the mechanics, everything. But I need to see more of Jordan Love. I need to see more of Brian Baldinger here. It's Shark Week, Carter.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Man, we can't get enough of Baldy here. Within the last, what, week, we've seen him three different times. He's been in studio for 4 hours, just salt of the earth. We love me. We love us some Brian Baldinger. River Island's guest line, that is what he appears on. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Island's guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the islands. River Island's in Lathrop. Brian Baldinger joining Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky here on the Morning Roast. And good morning, Baldy. We were just talking about the game that I think you're going to be at next Thursday in Brazil. Packers, Eagles. Niners fans should be watching this one very closely, because these teams are going to be the two that I think are going to be in the way potentially of them trying to reach another Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, one was in the way last year, and that was Green Bay. Philadelphia was the year before. So, I mean, both have good pedigrees, both have good rosters. And so I'm excited. I'm not excited about going down the first game ever played in Brazil or South America. So it's going to be an exciting time. I got some pregame things to do down the field. So I want to get to, just want to kind of feel it. I've been down to Brazil many times for, you know, whether it was World Cup soccer or beach volleyball or whatever. So those fans are excited about this game, the game of football. And I think it's going to be a rowdy scene.
Baldy, I'm so fired up for that. We have five questions that we're going to ask you in a second, but today's cut down day, right? It's cut down day around the league, and you know, in our minds, we've seen things like on Hard Knocks where the Turk goes and grabs you, and you got to go up and see the coach, and we know it's kind of made for television, so it's a little different. In my mind, though, I'm thinking of Major League where they leave the little red tag in the locker room, and the guy goes to open the locker, and he finds out whether he made the team or not. Have you ever been involved in a cut day where you were on the fringe, and what's that like?
Well, it's not fun, and the anxiety is through the roof. I just give you a couple quick stories, Joe. I was a rookie in Dallas in 1982, and we started off with 125 rookies that year, 110 free agents, 15 draft picks, and we were all, there was 10 of us that were in a hotel room after the last preseason game. And we were all just sitting in our rooms, like, literally nervous. Who was going to cut, who was going to make it? I got the call, come to dinner with Gil Brandt on Monday night. And, you know, so that's a good feeling. But I also was in Buffalo when I got the call. And I knew it. I just had a feeling. I played almost every snap in the preseason. I was a good player then. And Marv Levy called me in, and he couldn't even look at me. He was, like, making donuts with his foot. And I just said, hey, coach, like, don't worry about this. I'm going to be just fine. You got to do what you got to do. They drafted a kid in the first round. They liked this one free agent. They had five solid starters. But I just told Marv, like, look, this was a great experience. I wish you the best. Go back to the Super Bowl. That's what I wanted. I wanted to have a chance to go. And he had to make that cut. It's not fun. And for a lot of these kids today, it's going to end. And for some kids, like, they'll find another team. They'll get another opportunity. You know, Matt Breida just got released. He's been around this league. He's been in the 49ers. He has a chance of getting picked up. He's still talented. But some of these kids, the dream is going to end today, and that's tough.
Yeah, I got this feeling they're going to move Elijah Mitchell today and bring back Breida, but that's just my gut feeling. I don't know. I thought he looked really good in the game. I know he's older, but Baldy, like, what, as a free agent, now, like, after that happened, then what? You talk to your agent and you just look at different spots and landing places? Or, like, how do you pick yourself off the mat as a player once you've been cut?
Well, that's where your agent, you know, that's where you need the guy, you know, either to make phone calls. You know, there's a lot of practice squad, you know, opportunities out there, 16 in every team right now. So practice squad, the rosters aren't, even when they release everybody by 4 o'clock today, Eastern time, I mean, there's still going to be a lot of fluctuations and movement roster wise. And so people are going to be looking for those practice squad players. They can come in and just for that reason, add depth to the team, a position where, you know, you might be thin on the active roster, the 53-man roster, but maybe you keep the depth on the practice squad. So there's still a lot of opportunities for a lot of these guys right now.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the River Islands guest line, as he does each and every Tuesday throughout the NFL season leading up to it as well. Baldy, the best in the business at breaking it all down. And this is the latest from Josina Anderson, who's obviously an NFL insider, in regards to Trent Williams, stating that Trent would like to be paid, per quote, like the very important piece he is. A league source saying, San Francisco is between a real rock and a hard place because Trent is not playing around. Something may have to give, unless you're allowing for big adjustments next season. So that's the latest there. And it leads me into this thing we're going to do here, Baldy, because we got the five biggest questions in regards to the San Francisco 49ers this upcoming season. And we were just playing around with it. I was asking it to Joe, and I want to present them to you now. And the first question has to do with Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. And obviously they're not with the team yet. They've been holding in, holding out, whatever the hell you want to call it. They're not with the team. What would their regular season record be if those two are not 49ers?
It might be, they might struggle to get to 10 wins without them. I'd say, you know, they're still a talented team, but I'd say they're, I mean, I wouldn't put them first in their division. I'd probably put the Rams over them at that point. But I, they, you know, 10 wins would probably, I think they would struggle to get to 10.
I know. When, here's another one. When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Number two.
Name recognition.
An elite play caller, an elite play designer, and a guy that really sees the game differently than almost every single other coach, offensive coach out there in the league right now.
Who's the face of the 49ers?
Usually you put your quarterback. I mean, I put Brock Purdy there right now. I think he's the face. It's a baby face, but I'd probably put Brock. He's the highest rated quarterback in the history of this game over the last 2 years. They're fortunate, and I would have to say Brock Purdy at this point.
That's interesting, because Shasky and I were talking about that, Baldy, and I think a lot of people, maybe because we're in the media and stuff like that, they actually go to the head coach in Kyle Shanahan, because he's obviously gotten to the Super Bowl twice. They think of him, the offensive coordinator in Atlanta, his shortcomings, so they view him there. But to your point, it should always be the quarterback, but the Niners, they have so many different all-pros. Yeah. One day, it could be your boy George Kittle, right? Like in WWE, he could be the face.
I mean, look, he could easily be Fred.
Right. Fred Warner. It's a great call.
I mean, Fred is as good at his position as anybody is at their position. He's just the best middle linebacker in all of football. So, I mean, you put Nick there, I think Nick's going to have a monster season. So, I mean, there's a couple guys you could choose, but I usually go with the quarterback.
That's a great point. And, you know, speaking of that quarterback, besides Brock Purdy, Baldy, who needs to have a career year to give the 49ers the best chance at winning a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, in the current state right now, I would say McCaffrey has to have another career year. He just had one, and the 49ers rode his abilities all the way within, you know, a couple of feet of winning a Super Bowl. I mean, McCaffrey is the guy that makes this whole thing really go on offense. So I would say McCaffrey has to have back what he did last year up again this year.
Finish this sentence. The biggest threat to the Niners in the NFC is?
Probably Detroit. That's just a very talented roster. They got very close last year, obviously up 17 in the third quarter on the 49ers in San Francisco and let it get away. I think they're even better this year. Jameson Williams has had an entire offseason. Jahmyr Gibbs, what they've done at the corner position. Like, that's a stacked roster right there. And I would say Detroit is the biggest challenge.
Brian Baldinger, you're joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line, the Morning Roast. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. And those are the five questions that we were wanted to ask Baldy from the 49ers fans. And we're going to ask the 49ers fans here in about 23 minutes as well at 888-957-9570. But yeah, you were talking about right there, there's the biggest, you know, rivals to the San Francisco 49ers. It might even be themselves, right? Just with not having Brandon Ayuk, not having Trent Williams. And this stuff lingering on and on. And we were reacting, and I don't know if you heard Bill Belichick talk with Pat McAfee yesterday, just talking about, you know, having players in contract situations and not having them one-up other players within their own organization, right? Like, he was talking about, you know, I have Tom Brady here getting paid this amount. You know, I can't have this corner that wants a contract. He can't be making more than the quarterback. So it's this fine balance, and I feel like this is the most trying time for Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, the entire front office, handling these two guys with Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. You've called it a major distraction in the past, Baldy. Like, if they're not there week one, it's beyond a major distraction at that point. Now you're affecting the gameplay.
Well, listen, I mean, Coach Belichick is absolutely correct. There is a pecking order in every team, and you can't, you know, you can't pay your left guard more than Trent Williams. I'm just throwing that out. You just can't do it. You know, Trent just saw a bunch of tackles got paid in this business. And if he is a 99 on Madden, if he's the best in the business, then pay him to be the best. I would give John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and Jed a ton of credit for even being able to keep the roster that they have. Like last year at this time, I don't know where your conversations were about Nick. I don't remember. Like if it felt like, oh man, what are we going to do without Nick Bosa? And then, you know, I don't know, 3 days before the opener in Pittsburgh, you know, he gets War and Peace delivered to him and he's signing, you know, 100 pages of documents. You know, that there's still time to get this done. You just saw CD go yesterday. Like, sometimes it comes down to the very 11th hour to get these things done. And it just takes that much time. So I'm not saying it can't get done, but, you know, there's a pecking order. And there is a lot of truth to what he said, that there are certain players, because as soon as you pay that person more than the guy that's above them, then that other person is going to feel, justified about going back and getting more money.
What did you make of CD getting that $100 million guaranteed? Obviously, had a hell of a year last year. Top five at his position. It's probably him and Jefferson if you're going to do the hierarchy of wide receivers in the NFL. What did you make of that contract and how it affects the Dallas Cowboys and obviously Dak Prescott and his negotiations?
Well, I mean, he's the most important offensive piece there is. It'd be good if these two rookies they drafted, you know, step up and play like first round and second round picks. But look, he caught a third of all the passes completed by Dak Prescott last year. And one thing about CD is he gives that team a little bit like Brandon Ayuk and Debo as well, but he gives that team a toughness. He's absolutely fearless over the middle of the field. And he'll take a hit as well as anybody in this whole business. And literally, he bounces right up off the turf. I've never seen him down. And I've seen one flag after another thrown his way when people are trying to decapitate him in the middle of the field. He is a tough son of a gun. Look, I don't know if Dallas had a choice. The market was set. Justin Jefferson set the market. And so it's hard to be a receiver at this point and as acclaimed as CD is, where he was drafted, who he plays for, the number he wears in that franchise, which is really important, because I played with Drew and I saw Dez and Irvin, and he wears that number for a reason. I didn't think they had a choice but to pony up.
Did you see the Athletics tiers and rankings of quarterbacks that was released? Mike Sando does it every single year. And I know lists they're subjective and we go all around. I feel like there's just this common sentiment. Either people are praying for Purdy's downfall or they're diluting his accomplishments. I'm not here to say he's the number one quarterback in the league. And I'm not even here to say he's the top three or four player. But like, he's an upper echelon guy. If there are 32 starting quarterbacks, to me, he's top eight. He just is. Now, one week he might not play as well, and some weeks he'll play a little better, but week in, week out, I know what to get from him.
For reference, real quick, Baldy, top five. So number five they had, and top five quarterbacks in the league, they had Stafford and Herbert tied for the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. They had Brock Purdy at 12. Ahead of him, they had Dak Prescott, you had Jared Goff, and then all the other ones, Burrow, what have you. But
I don't even care about the ranking. It's more like, why do we do mental gymnastics to dilute how good this guy is?
Well, you heard George Kittle with us last week, Joe, when he said it's something when he steps into a huddle and guys like Trent Williams and Debo and McCaffrey, like they feel more confident when he delivers the play. Like, their confidence level goes up. You heard Nick Bosa go, how in the hell are you so good? Like, how did you do this? Like, how are you so confident and so good? Like, that's all that really matters, is what those guys think about him in the locker room. The list of the list, I don't know how you could put Justin Herbert, honestly, above Brock Purdy on any level. I mean, he's been injured. He's never, you know, playoffs. Like, you could go on any list. Yeah, you go out there and you watch Justin Herbert throw a football. He wows you. You go out there and watch Brock Purdy win games. That wows me.
You know, it's interesting. Like, Tom Brady, they're running the ball, and it took almost like a decade for him to finally get his just due. And I know he evolved as a player, and it feels like Joe Montana early on, this skinny guy, you know, throwing passes. Brock's not in their category just yet. But at what point will we finally just succumb and say he's a really good player? Like, why is that so hard for everyone to say? What is it, the draftism? Is it the fact he's short? What is it, Baldy? It bugs me.
Yeah, it bugs me too. And it bothers the organization because the guy has been phenomenal. But, I mean, look, Matt Stafford was never talked about as a great quarterback until he went to the Rams with Sean McVay and won a Super Bowl. And now he's probably top five, and legitimately so. But winning the Super Bowl changes a lot of things, for sure. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, was the MVP. He got jobs for the next 6 years after that. He just stepped away this year, but he kept getting jobs because they kept waiting for him to rekindle that magic. But I don't know when they say everything about Brock except what he is, which is a damn good winning quarterback that just makes one great play after another, week in, week out. You can't count five bad games that he's had in his entire career. In 2.5 years, you can't count five bad games. Like, that's almost hard to do it at a quarterback.
Baldy, we were just talking about a couple segments ago, the 2022 quarterback draft class, which Purdy obviously is the last pick of that draft, Mr. Irrelevant. The only other player that's on the same team that they were drafted to is Skylar Thompson with the Dolphins. Kenny Pickett, not on the Steelers. Desmond Ridder, not on the Falcons. Malik Willis, traded to Green Bay yesterday, right? Matt Corral, cut by the Vikings. Like, Zappe, Howell, Aludekin, like, all these guys, like... Why is the quarterback position, with all this information, we have never had more of it, no more eyeballs, you do the breakdowns, why is it so hard? Like, it feels like we're still in 1985 when it comes to evaluating these guys, because it's such a crapshoot at the quarterback position. What is it about it?
Well, I mean, the college game is just completely, it's not even the same game.
It's different,
that's
yes.
Number one. It's a different game. There, nobody has four Nick Bosas coming after you in college. The system is so simplistic. They call a play with one word. You know, I mean, it's just a completely different game. There is no power to the game. It's a passing league. You know, I mean, it's just a different game. So that's number one. Number two, you can't measure toughness or leadership. It's hard to factor. You either have that. CJ Stroud has that. You just have to be around him. Brock has that. The accuracy is something that's difficult to improve. I know Josh Allen has done it, but not many other guys have increased their accuracy. Bo Nix is an accurate guy. You can see it. You can see it in college. He's an accurate thrower. Like, I expect him to be a pretty good quarterback, especially when he's married with that coach. But a lot of it is who your coach is, what the play caller and the talent around you. The talent around Brock Purdy is excellent. If he was on a Jets team last year with that broken offensive line and that system, he probably wouldn't be very successful.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Baldy, most people are going through their fantasy drafts over the next, let's say, 12 days, right? It's fantasy, 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 and everyone's looking for...
You do fantasy football real quick, Baldy?
Yeah, do that?
I played fantasy... One year I played fantasy at Fox, and my first pick was Tom Brady, and he was out for the season in the first quarter of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was my year.
Oh, my God.
I never played again.
Oh, my God.
Just pick up Castle. He had a good year.
I felt like I jinxed him.
Yeah.
I felt like I jinxed him that year.
Well, you don't do fantasy. You do Baldy's breakdowns. But you're looking at all these rookies right now, and everybody wants that rookie, right? They want to reach for that rookie. Malik Nabers, Xavier Worthy, maybe it's Bo Nix. Like, they want to find value before everyone else, like, comes to the table. If you were to just, like, say, hey, I just believe this guy's going to be awesome year one, who's that rookie, a skill position, that you would suggest to somebody who was just asking, like, who's popping, Baldy?
I'd say Malik Nabers. Like, what I've seen so far, I mean, he's going to get 100. If he's healthy, he's going to get probably 150 targets. He's going to get over 100 balls. Like, that guy is, he just looks different. And the Giants need him to be good. And so, I don't know what the Giants are going to do this year, but Malik Nabers is going to be their biggest star in that team.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Roast. Spadonian for Bonte alongside Joe Shasky. It's been fantastic stuff. Ricky Pearsall returned to practice yesterday, Brian. And I don't call you Brian. You're always Baldy. Felt weird calling you by your first name right there. We call you Baldy so much. Ricky Pearsall, What are we going to expect from this guy week one, potentially? Can we expect anything at all? He's missed damn near the entire training camp preseason. He's practicing now, so he's going to get hopefully 2 weeks in here before he faces the Jets and that loaded team on defense. What can you expect from rookie here in the couple weeks and leading up to week one against the Jets?
Well, typically, any rookie that misses as much time as Pearsall has, you can't really count on them to be very productive. You just can't. You don't know. This is a very, like all offenses, this thing has got to be the precision of a diamond cutter on where you need to be. And it's just hard. It's hard if you haven't been out there and running these right. You can sit in all the meetings you want and do all this stuff. It's just not the same. I think it's going to take a while for him to get into a rhythm in this offense. Jacob Cowing has played. I think he's played well. He should be active. I think right now he's ahead of Ricky just because he's played and he's practiced. But I think it's going to take a little while. It's hard to catch up and to know all the things that you have to know. The talent is there, but being able to play fast and know exactly what you need to do in this type of, in any offense, I think that's hard to catch up.
All right, Baldy, walk me through a team like the Niners. They're a veteran-laden team. They got 2 weeks to get ready for the Jets. Are they starting today to prepare for the Jets? Have they already been preparing for the Jets? How do you even prepare for a team whose quarterback was lost, you know, three plays into the season last year? They're going to look very, very different. Walk me through what the Niners are trying to go through over the next 2 weeks here.
Well, I mean, look, there is Robert Saleh there. I mean, he does know the 49ers system. He does know the offense. He does know how, I mean, I know it's a new defensive coordinator, but, you know, for week one, it's always a little bit of a guessing game. You can game plan all you want. You can watch all the tape that you want. There's only one Aaron Rodgers. There's only one guy with his knowledge of this game and how he sees the game, plays the game. I mean, he's got more knowledge than any coach out there. So it's hard. Like, I remember last year, the final preseason game, Wink Martindale was the defensive coordinator of the Giants. And he specifically wanted to throw a bunch of zero blitzes at Aaron Rodgers in that preseason game. And he played 10 plays to see what their answer to the zero blitz was going to be. So that's the level that we're talking about here. Like, you're going to take 10 plays that Aaron's out there in a preseason game. Let's throw it, because they were going to play each other midway through the season last year. He wanted to see what his answer was. I mean, those are the type of things that these coaches are, they're looking for anything they can get. The Jets didn't play really any starters in preseason. The 49ers played very few. So, I mean, both teams are going to go and watch last year's tape and probably even go back and watch Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett, some of the things that they did. I mean, you'll try to get whatever you can. Fred Warner will just, you know, put it into his, you know, into his memory bank, you know, and see what they can do. But ultimately, you just got to go out and play on that Monday night.
Is that the biggest question mark heading into this season around the NFL, Baldy, is Aaron Rodgers and how he's going to look with that team? Because they've got receivers, they've got a defense, and if he's just a semblance of what he was, he's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, we didn't get to see him at all. Like, is that the biggest question mark heading into this season, is Aaron Rodgers and how he looks with the New York Jets? Because the AFC is obviously stacked. Burrow, Josh Allen within his division, got Tua within your division, and obviously Patrick Mahomes. But if he looks like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, the Jets can win it all.
Yes, they can. They can win it all. They have, if he plays at or anywhere near what we have seen him and are accustomed to seeing, yes, they can win it all. They have that kind of a roster. And that defense has never played, you know, with a lead in the last 2 years. You give that defense a lead in the second half or in the fourth quarter, especially at home, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
All right, so Labor Day is kind of like bittersweet for me every year because it kind of signifies the end of the summer, right? Yep. Which kind of sucks, but also it's the start of football, right? And it just, it's kind of like a duality of the two. What does Brian Baldinger do on Labor Day as he prepares himself for about the 6 month grind of the NFL season? Like, this is your last kind of foray into the weekend, right?
Well, I mean, I'm going to Brazil on Tuesday, so Labor Day is Monday. So, I mean, I'm just going to be thinking about Samba and, you know, in Copacabana Beach, and because I'm going to Rio first. And, you know, look, my summer ended July 4th.
Ugh.
So, like, that's I just kind of mentally shut it down, start getting ready. But, I mean, the idea of going to Brazil and being on the field game day, like, that's a good, you know, kickoff of Labor Day weekend to me.
If I did invite you over to my house for the barbecue and it was Labor Day weekend, okay, what meat should be on the grill?
Well, I mean, I'm a big skirt steak fan. Mm. It only takes 6 minutes, Joe.
Yeah.
6 minutes, and you're in heaven. You're in meat heaven, right? Carnivore heaven. But, you know, I take all the cuts that you got. Yeah. I'll take your porterhouse. You know, I'll take your T-bone. I'll take your bone-in ribeye. I mean, you throw it all in there. I'm going to eat it all. Like, I don't even need a knife and fork. I can just pick it up by the bone and just start gnawing on it.
There you go. More of a sausage guy myself. Polish sausage, Italian.
I like
sweet,
the spicy
hot.
Italian
there
sausage.
Go. There we go. Yeah. Baldy knows all about that. Hey, Baldy, we really appreciate
You're the
time,
best,
man.
Buddy.
You're the best. Hey, next week, we actually get to preview a game.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Jets, Niners, and
yeah,
you're
that, 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 like, I can't wait. I can't wait to that game and that day.
Love the hat today, Baldy. You're the best, yeah, man. Baldy. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate
all right,
you,
guys.
Man.
Take care, man.
Thank
See
you.
You.
Oh,
love
he's the
that
best.
Guy.
That's Brian Baldinger.
God,
again,
I love that guy.
Joining us here on the River Islands guest line. All guests appear on the River Islands guest line. It's the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. And he said it right there, man. Hey, if Harry Rodgers looks like Aaron Rodgers, like you're facing a Super Bowl contender week one.
Do you know
I do think we are kind of sleeping, and not that we're going to do a huge Jets preview right now because we still got a couple weeks away.
And they got Mike Williams.
They got
Garrett
Mike
Wilson
Williams, and Mike
New
Williams
Jersey.
Always hurt, but I love Garrett Wilson.
Breece Hall might be the best home run hitter in the league.
Breece Hall, a lot of people are taking him in fantasy early.
Yeah, Guido took him number one overall.
That's bold strategy. We'll see. I love Guido, though, so everything he does is great. I golfed with the guy one time, and he left that impression
on
me.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. I hope you know. I wax poetically about him all the time in our one interaction.
We haven't even finished the actual draft because it's a long story. But
what?
Yeah, it's a long story. But he's already out here doing feelers on trades. It's like, bro, we haven't even let the roster solidify.
We haven't even hit the injury report. I mean, come on. Oh, I threw. Hey, see, that's not an experienced guy back there. I threw him under the bus.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right. See, this is the same one that I had yesterday in regards to Ricky Pearsall. So, you know what? I'm just going to do a different one. Leonard Floyd. 49ers defensive end that they just signed this past offseason. He is day-to-day with a knee injury, according to Kyle Shanahan. So Leonard Floyd got rolled up on Friday's tie against the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium, but it appears like he avoided serious injury. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Reaction to Baldy? And we're going to ask you, the fans, the top five questions for the San Francisco 49ers heading into this upcoming season. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.